Dateline Washington, Tuesday, January 27th, 2009. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, a conversation with former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum. The senator is getting very involved in the effort by Republican Norm Coleman to keep his Senate seat in Minnesota by contesting the recount results that declared Democrat Al Franken the winner. We'll also get Santorum's insights on the economic stimulus debate currently going on here in Washington. Also in this edition, Iran closes in on a nuclear weapon. The reports from the Iranian regime now suggest that it will have enough enriched uranium by the end of the year to make a nuclear weapon. We'll talk about that timetable, as well as the increasing U.S. emphasis on Afghanistan and the war on terror, with the help of retired U.S. Navy Captain Chuck Nash. Plus, executive power. We'll talk with Pepperdine University Professor Doug Kamik about what a president can and can't do through executive orders, and whether Karl Rove can still claim executive privilege in avoiding testimony before Congress, even though President Bush is no longer in office. And defending marriage. President Obama has made it clear he wants to repeal the Defense of Marriage Act. What would that mean, and what is Obama's vision for family in this country? All that plus Tuesday's headlines. Follow our conversation with former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum, and that begins right now. My first guest in this edition is former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum. He is currently keeping a very close eye on the Minnesota Senate recount as Republican Norm Coleman challenges the official results of that race, which declared Democratic challenger Al Franken the winner after a statewide recount. And Senator Santorum joins me now to explain why Senator Coleman believes if the count is done properly, the Republicans will retain that seat. And Senator, it's great to have you with us.
Well, thank you, Greg. It's great to be back with you, and good to be talking about a very, very important thing. As you see the stimulus debate going on and the other debates going on Capitol Hill right now, you just realize how important every single vote is to make sure that we have an opposition. I don't mean that in a contention sense, but from the standpoint of ideas, to force what is a very radical group of Democrats and a pretty liberal president into more of a centrist way of governing. The only way to do that is to have as many United States senators as we possibly can have. And so this particular Senate race in Minnesota is really interesting, giving us a chance for 42 or 41, which is the opportunity to let one of our guys go and still block things from happening, as opposed to having to have every Republican senator every time. And if you follow the Senate very much, you know that we've got a handful of Republican senators who are not folks that we can count on a lot of votes. So having a little bit of leeway can make all the difference in the world when it comes to making sure that we have responsible government in Washington, D.C. And it's in the hands of a 3-judge panel in Minnesota, as you know. And we're hopeful that these judges will just apply fundamental fairness, that all these absentee ballots that were thrown out should be judged by the same standard, that a couple of election boards in St. Paul and Minneapolis, who were much more liberal in allowing these votes in heavily Democratic and Franken areas, should not have those votes counted, and then areas where, in the rural areas where folks are a little bit more stickler for the rules and didn't allow them in, and to the disadvantage of Norm Coleman, that those two standards should be melded together, one standard applied to all these absentee ballots, and that every vote that should be counted is counted.
You mentioned the economic stimulus debate, and we'll get to that in just a moment. The key sticking points here, after Norm Coleman appeared to win on election day by a few hundred votes, and now Franken, of course, ahead by, I believe, 225, is, as you mentioned, alleged double counting in certain precincts, and then improperly, as the Coleman campaign sees it, rejected absentee ballots. Let's start with the double counting. What is the exact evidence on that?
Well, the issue is that when it's optical scanning in Minnesota, and so if you have a absentee ballot that comes in, you have to run it through a scanner. Well, as you know, the absentee ballots are folded, and sometimes they can't get through the scanner. So what they do is they make a photocopy of the original ballot, write original on the original ballot, put it in a folder, and then run the duplicate through and put that in with the rest of them. And so you have, sort of the duplicates. Let's say there's 10 in this particular precinct. So you have 10 original ballots in a folder marked original, and the duplicates are in with all the other ballots, having been scanned with all the other regular ballots. Well, what happened in these precincts where you saw the double counting is they didn't mark them duplicate. And so they didn't know which ballots were the duplicate ones. And so they so they didn't know whether they, quote, counted them correctly. And so they just ran the originals in with the original count and ended up with actually more people having voted than, quote, voted on election night. And so we know that those originals should not be counted. There were duplicates. They just weren't marked. The problem is the election board let them be counted.
And there's about 133 of those, as I recall from media reports.
Right. Do we know what the exactly sure the number, but it's a significant number in this close election.
Do we know what the breakdown of those votes was between Franken and Coleman?
What we do know is that they were in precincts that were heavily democratically oriented, so they would disproportionately help Franken, no question.
And so you also mentioned the absentee ballots and the different standards, perhaps, in different precincts. That's an argument and a debate that seems to go back to Florida about a uniform standard of vote counting during that whole debate. What exactly are we talking about in terms of numbers of ballots and why they were rejected, that you believe they were incorrectly rejected?
Well, there's a whole bunch of reasons that an absentee ballot can be rejected. There's certain things that have to be signed, they have to be sealed in a certain way. If you've ever filled out an absentee ballot, there's all sorts of things that a voter has to do to make sure that, you know, that their vote will be counted. And, there's all sorts of judgment calls that are made at the precinct level to determine whether that standard has been made. And what we found was that the election boards in heavily Democratic areas, and in a couple areas in particular, allowed ballots to be counted on a much looser standard than in other counties around the state. So they accepted more, quote, bad absentee ballots to be counted than the other areas. Now, the question is, if that was the case, then should we apply that standard, that more liberal standard, across the board to make sure that all absentee ballots that are similarly situated get counted in the same way? And if that is the case, then you're going to have a lot of absentee ballots from counties where Norm Coleman did well that are going to be eligible to be counted. Or if they apply a tougher standard than the ballots that were counted that were favorable to Franken, Franken picked up a lot of votes in these absentee ballots, and that's what made the difference. That's what swung the election his way. If those votes are no longer going to be counted because of this new standard, then you have a situation where the election would swing the other way.
Senator, how long do you expect this contesting period to last? And do you believe that the people of Minnesota will have confidence in their new senator, regardless of who ends up the victor?
Well, I'm hopeful that what Norm Coleman is asking of this three-judge panel is that they get the issue of duplicate ballots right, that more people's votes, that the number of votes counted isn't more than the number of people who voted on Election Day. That seems to be a pretty obvious one that I'm hopeful will go in the direction of one man, one vote, not one man, 1.1 votes. And the second issue, and certainly the most important from the standpoint of the size of the number of votes out there, there are 12,000 absentee ballots that have not been counted. We need a standard, and once that standard is put in place, then what the Coleman campaign is asking this panel to actually apply the standard and actually go through these ballots and determine whether they should be counted or not. That process, you have to first make the ruling, which may take days or weeks, and then if, in fact, the judges decide to go through and comply with what the Coleman campaign is asking for, you're talking several other weeks to determine whether these ballots should be counted or not.
Senator, as you mentioned earlier, the numbers on Capitol Hill are not in favor of your party right now in either house, larger margins than even in the previous Congress. Right now, we're looking at least an $825 billion stimulus plan coming, probably going to be closer to $1 trillion by the time all the adjustments are made here. What do you make of what we know is in it so far?
I fundamentally object to the size of the package. I mean, we're going to be borrowing $825 billion. $825 billion in many cases just do things that have nothing to, contraception. I mean, have nothing to do, is one of the things that Nancy Pelosi defended over the weekend, nothing to do with stimulating the economy. And in fact, I believe that if you look at a lot of the things that are out there, it's the same old pork barrel, big government spending. Even the tax provisions that are in there are not tax provisions that are going to create jobs and grow the economy. They're an essential welfare checks, and most of the people who are receiving those checks I'm sure, you know, not to say that, you know, we don't want everybody to have more money. We'd love to have everybody, but these are people who didn't pay taxes. And they're going to get a check. In all likelihood, they're going to pay down debt with the check they have. They're not going to go out and stimulate the economy. This is completely wrongheaded in size and in scale and in direction. And I'm hopeful that that, you know, conservatives will stand up for their principles. I mean, you know, I always go back and look at the Clinton administration, and the thing Bill Clinton goes around and talks about, all the accomplishments he talks about the most, he did because Republicans held his feet to the fire and made him do it. And so what we need to do is to help President Obama be a good president. It's not, and sometimes, and I'm a parent of seven kids, sometimes it's not giving your kids what they want, but it's what's best for them. And we need to make sure that the Republicans speak up loudly and strongly that this is too big, that it's too big government, that it's too much spending, it's not enough in real tax incentives for that is going to leverage public dollars with private sector efficiencies and you know, entrepreneurship and the kinds of things that grow this economy. It is all wrong-headed, and so I'm hopeful that we will fight hard and strong, particularly in the Senate, and block anything that is either too big or too wasteful.
You mentioned in our last 30 seconds here, Senator, that there are some unreliable votes, even with just 41 Republicans right now. Do you believe that there will, your party will be in position to block certain provisions of this plan?
That's a tough one. I mean, you know, what usually happens is the majority side goes over to the minority side and focuses on a handful of more moderate members and tries to pick them off with a few things that member of the Senate really wants in the package, and that they're willing to swallow all the other bad stuff to get some of the things they want. So, you know, look for goodies for Maine, look for goodies for Pennsylvania, and maybe a couple other states where you have moderate Republicans who may have their votes swayed by things that are of particular delight to them.
Senator, unfortunately, our time is up. Very good of you, sir, to spend some time with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you, Rick. Take care now.
You too, sir. Bye-bye. Former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum, this is Dateline Washington.